The longest-running off-road and action motorsports radio show on the planet is coming to you live with the biggest guest in motorsports. Here is the only man on the planet who can pack this much dirt slinging and tire slaying into 2 hours a week. Sit back, strap in, and be prepared to get your ears blown. Here is Jim Beaver and the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Welcome to this week's Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here in the hot seat, and we are shifting gears because I am an off-road guy, and yeah, we are going to talk about the NHRA finale and maybe a little bit of NASCAR finale, but really not a whole lot of that this week. You know why? Because it is Baja 1000 week, and I waited on recording this episode. Those of you listening nationally on Saturdays and Sunday, the race is going on. Those of you tuning in online today on Friday, Baja 1000, yes, it should have started this morning, but it has been delayed. Massive storms hitting the Baja Peninsula. I know we did a Baja preview episode over on my off-road podcast, but it's one of those things where it's crazy, man. We're doing the show, and yet there's all these unknowns around Baja. We were going to interview Steve Torrence, all these NHRA winners and stuff like that, do the traditional national show. I'm shifting gears. I'm like, hell with that. It's out the window. We're talking Baja today because there are a lot of unanswered questions on everything happening south of the border. We're going to try and dive into it. We are actively working on trying to get some guests calling in from Ensenada to let us know the latest on the Baja 1000, this big delay, all the course changes. We've heard of just chaos, carnage out there. Ensenada's flooded. So the biggest, baddest off-road race on the planet has been delayed by 24 hours per Score International. We'll dive into that press release and everything that we know happening around Baja today on the show. Hoping to have Matt Martelli at a minimum call in. I know he's down there. He calls in once in a while to the show. He's committed to calling in. And maybe we'll be able to get a racer or something as well. So we're actively trying to get this sorted as we're live here on the show online. But we are talking a lot of Baja today. We also have Tiffany Stone calling in with an update. And we've got Chris Leone with Power Rankings. So we will be talking a little bit of NASCAR and NHRA today. But lion's share of the show, we're dedicating it to the Baja 1000 and actually updating you guys on what is actually happening south of the border. So if you're not an off-road fan, probably want to check out now. If you are, this is the show for you today, right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. You don't want to go anywhere.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Ford WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, Ford WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to Ford WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at FordWP.com.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCracken, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And you know, we're a racing show, and you're tuning in because you like hearing about racing, right? Well, you know, you can race online from the comfort of your own home as well, against competitors from all around the world. iRacing brings the competition to NASCAR, IndyCar, IMSA, World of Outlaws, Rallycross, and now the Lucasol Off-Road Racing Series right to you. You can take on the top ovals, road courses, and dirt tracks from across the world, from Daytona to Nürburgring to the Chili Bowl, complete with iRacing from around the globe, and everything from pickup races to league races and even world championships. Use the promo code PR-JimBeaver. It'll net you 50% off a new subscription for 3 months at iRacing.com/memberships. Sim racing is iRacing. We'll see you at the track. And no joke, iRacing, some legit legit racing. I'm digging the short course and stuff like that. You know, it's one of those. You want to really feel like what it's like to get behind the wheel of an off-road truck? Boom, sim racing right there with iRacing. It's where it is at. So, yeah, talking, I guess, going back to Baja, right? That is what this show is about today. We will dive into some other things, but it is all about Baja, because the race should be going on right now as I speak. We should be tuning into the trackers, watching the live stream, hearing the weatherman feed, and you know what? We aren't doing that. Reason being, I'm in Arizona. We got pounded with some rain the past couple of days, but nothing, I mean nothing, compared to what they got in the Baja Peninsula. They got over 4 inches of rain in some spots, and it just absolutely flooded things. If you're an off-road fan, you've probably been tuning into Instagram, Facebook, maybe even some Twitter action. You're seeing just all these crazy videos of just mud, muck. Downtown Ensenada literally flooded. I got a picture text to me last night of the wash. You know, they start this race, you run through the streets for about a half a mile, then you dive into this wash and you run it all the way outside of Ensenada. Well, that wash, normally it's dry. Maybe there's a little bit of water right in the middle of it. We're talking like a couple of inches, right? No, this thing's like a full-on river right now. And it's literally, I guess you probably could take a truck through there. It's nothing that I would advise, but just the start of the race right there, you know, we're talking a half a mile, 1 mile into the race, boom, done, pause it. It's, you know, train wreck city. So, you know, I think this is, I believe Score said, let me look this up because, I can do this on radio, right? We can look this up. It is, what is it? They got 4 inches of rainfall. I'm just trying to think, what is it? Third time in the history. That's what I was looking for. Third time in the history of the Baja 1000, it has actually been delayed at the start. That's what you got to understand about this. This is massive news in motorsport. Off-road does not stop for anything. 9/11 hit. You know what? A couple of days later, there was only two events that actually happened. Every other sports league, everybody paused everything, right? Around 9/11, right? Score International held the Prim 300. And WWE had pro wrestling, right? Those two events went off. WWE and Score International. Off-road, and I guess pro wrestling, do not stop for anything. I mean, we've raced in snow. We've raced in sleet, hail, you name it. I don't care if an earthquake or tornado's happening. 9 times out of 10, we're running the off-road race, right? For them to pause the granddaddy of all off-road races, I mean, they've got people flying in from all over the world, news outlets from Europe. I mean, I know friends that are down in Baja right now that flew in from the UK. it literally stops the global motorsport industry when SCORE puts a pause on the Baja 1000. That's what we said before. This is only like the fourth time in history that it's ever happened. Third time, to be technically right. But that tells you how big of a move this is and how bad things had to have been down in the Baja Peninsula. So, you know, I'm looking at this thing, and I know, you know, the big thing is out on the course, you know, once everybody kind of gets separated out, you know, it's going to be nasty. It's going to be gnarly. I mean, there's washouts on the road where you can't pass. They're going to have to find alternate lines, and I think they're working on that right now. But the big thing is you can't have a race where there's a bottleneck right off the start, and that's what they're really trying to avoid here. You know, I think they're probably going to reroute out of Ensenada, probably run at a speed limit through the city streets until you clear town, and then you get out of that wash, because that wash, it's impassable. The way things are right now, you know, you literally would go off the start, and then you'd have cars buried in the mud, you know, 1 mile into the race, and you have 200 cars piled up, and boom, done. Not only that, but you're talking car and trucks, a little bit easier on us. What about the motorcycle guys, right? I mean, they're going to be out first, and they're going to be, you know, blazing the trail for everybody else. I would not want to be on two wheels at the start of this Baja 1000, and just for the safety of those guys and girls alone, they got to delay the start of this thing. But I'm just looking at this going, man, what a mess they've got down there. You know, I got to tip the cap to SCORE. It's costing them hundreds of thousands of dollars to pause this race, but it was absolutely the right decision. I don't think anybody, drivers, fans, media, anybody's going to say no. I mean, any fan that goes, no, they should have started it, this is off-road, no. Like, this wouldn't have been racing. This, and I understand that Baja's about survival, but this would have been just a mess. It would have been a freaking mess. So, yeah, props to SCORE for making the right call. It's a 24-hour start. It's funny because they first delayed the driver's meeting. It was supposed to be, I believe, Wednesday night. Then they moved it to Thursday night because they were going to update, and the race is still supposed to start on Friday. Now they've moved the driver's meeting actually to tonight. If you're listening online, if you're tuning in nationally, obviously it's yesterday evening. But, yeah, they basically delayed that by 48 hours, you know what I mean, because they want to get the drivers, you know, up to speed. And a lot of drivers, this, you know, this course is 800 miles long, Baja 1000, now it's, you know, 800 miles, 1,000 kilometers. You know, it'll be 1,000 miles when they're on the point-to-point. But a lot of drivers, I know, like Rob Mack, for one, I think he's over in San Felipe right now because he's going to get in. He's going to do the second half of the race. So he's already down over there. So whoever's starting is actually going to the driver's meeting. They're going to have to relay information. I mean, there's so many layers to this. I mean, teams have support crews. Some of these, you know, support crews are hundreds of people deep. You know, they've got people scattered all over Mexico right now. They're going to be relaying information. This is wild. I mean, you know, it's course workers, fans. I mean, you've got fans, you know, that are in the remote areas of Baja. They were expecting this race to start today. Sorry, I had to pause there for a second. Doesn't happen very often, but I had to add a cough on air, so I had to hit my cough button there. I was getting rolling, but no, these fans in these remote areas of Baja, you know, they're expecting the race to happen on Friday, and you know, in some of these places, obviously internet is pretty widespread, but there's still some remote places in Baja where, you know, they don't have high speed internet. You know, there's no cell service, things like that. So some of these ranchos and things like that are out in the middle of nowhere. These people are expecting a race to come through on Friday, and it's going to be delayed by 24 hours. That is going to be interesting. You know, so, you know, there's a lot of relay of information. I the logistics of SCORE changing this race is just absolutely insane to me. It's just, this is going to be one of the wildest Baja 1000s in history. And I got to say, I can almost guarantee you this is going to be one of the toughest Baja 1000s ever to try and finish. You know, obviously we've talked about the start and how mucky and muddy that is. But you start looking in, and I know there was a video floating around of Toby Price and Nasser Alatia, you know, who were racing with Jesse Jones. And, you know, there was a hill right outside Ensenada that they had to make a couple of passes at just to try and get up. And they were in a two-wheel drive kind of trophy truckish pre-runner. But we're not even to the race, and they're having a hard time getting up that. And this is a very, very capable truck. Yeah, that's going to be interesting once you get 200 vehicles go over it and people start actually racing it to see what happens. You know, there's so many changes, little changes, every single hill. It's going to be a survival race. I think four-wheel drive and UTVs are going to have a massive advantage. We'll probably get into that in the next segment. You know, I know in our Off-Road Edition podcast, Matt Martelli and I went over the entire lineup and who we thought was going to win. That was before the storm, right? I'm going to reboot that today, and I'm going to look down the list and be like, all right, here's who I think's got a real good shot. Because let me tell you, starting position, two-wheel drive versus four-wheel drive, there's a lot that goes into this. Not only that, but the guys that I know have done all the homework and done all the pre-running, and maybe they've already sorted out those better lines. Yeah, we're going to get into that in the next segment, because I got to tell you, this is going to be one of the craziest Baja 1000s in history. For sure. It's got me excited. I'm kind of glad I'm here in Arizona where it's nice and I can't say real sunny, but we've had some rain, but I'm a lot drier than they are in Baja, that's for sure. So I think this is one. It might be fun to watch from my laptop. Anyways, we're going to take a short commercial break. We'll continue on with this Baja conversation when we return right here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Are you looking for a place to push yourself behind the wheel and see how your driving skills stack up? Dirtfish Rally School is that place. Located on 315 acres of pristine automotive playground at the foot of the Cascade Mountains in Snoqualmie, Washington, right outside of Seattle, Dirtfish Rally School is a one-of-a-kind place where everyone from first-time drivers to seasoned professionals like Bucky Lassick and Antoine Lestage can push themselves to their limit. Whether driving the high-performance, rally-prepped, all-wheel drive Subaru Impreza STI is what you're looking for, or you'd rather hang it all out in the rear-wheel drive Subaru BR, Dirtfish Rally School has something for everyone. Classes are available from 2 hours to 3 full days and feature instructors with over 150 years of combined racing experience. Whether you're looking to become the best and get an edge on the competition, or just looking to freshen your skills behind the wheel, Dirtfish Rally School is the place to go. For more information on registering for classes, visit Dirtfish on the web at dirtfish.com, or to check out the latest happenings from Dirtfish, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Dirtfish Rally.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
And we're back here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Dissecting Baja. I did get a text message. I know Matt Martelli will be joining us here in hour number two from south of the border. He's got about 20, 30 minutes to bring us a full update on what's happening down there in Ensenada. So really looking forward to having Matt on the show. Maybe you can give us some clarity on what exactly is happening down there with the Baja 1000, because I got to tell you right now, from what I understand, and just, you know, I'm with you guys, I'm probably just tuning in on social media, it is absolutely chaos down there in Baja. You know, I think drivers right now, they're scrambling, trying to figure out, you know, game plan, change of plans, figure out what's bad. I'm sure they're doing a lot of scouting. I can't necessarily say pre-running at this point because I think a lot of the track is impassable. I know tonight, drivers meeting, Score International will probably bring us in the loop even more on the course changes and what is actually happening. You know, I've heard at one point, you know, maybe trimming the course 200 miles, but you don't want to do that because then it becomes a Baja 500. I think they're going to try and keep it as, you know, as long as they possibly can. I would assume that there's probably going to be a few areas cut out. I would assume right off the start, maybe 20 miles into the start. You know, 20 each way, that's 40 miles. Maybe another, you know, I could see them trimming as much as 100 miles out of this course and making it a 700-mile race, but I don't see much more. You know, maybe they're going to reroute. Maybe they'll add some course in other areas. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of dry lake beds, too. That's one of the big things, right? There's a lot of dry lake beds down there in Baja. And with the dry lake beds, you know, they all of a sudden become not a dry lake bed, an actual lake. You know, you've got the washes in San Felipe. Gosh, you want to talk about Tomi Wash? Wow, that thing is tough as it is. After a rainstorm's been through there, they've got boulders the size of cars. You know, they've probably all been moved and tumbled. All the pre-running down in Matomi, man, that's going to become a rock crawling section. You know, it's Wow, this is, you know, I know they've got a sportsman shortcut down there in San Felipe that cuts about 100 miles of the course off. I don't see them getting, you know, I don't see them making that for all the vehicles, but, you know, it is an option right there, right? You know, I know there's also a section, I doubt they would cut out San Felipe, but, you know, from Morelia Junction there to, I believe, right around Zoo Road, you can cut across, and that would probably trim probably close to 120 miles out. You know, Pine Forest section, you know, that's pretty tough. There's not a whole lot of lines through there. I mean, you know, I think one of the key portions of the course is going to be when you cut from the coast over to the Valley T and through the Mike Sky Ranch and Rancho El Coyote area. You know, it's going to be kind of wild. So those of you tuning in nationally, I know I am geeking out on off-road right now. If you're expecting IndyCar and NHRA coverage and a whole lot more, I don't know what to tell you at this point. But, you know, we will get to that in the power rankings with Chris Leone. I guess actually some other big news coming out of off-road. I guess we can switch gears because we do have Matt Martelli calling in. So we will be able to talk with him and dissect all things happening down there in Baja. But Tanner Faust, you know, ARX making a formal announcement that they are closing up shop. I can't remember if we talked about it last week or not. I don't believe we did. But ARX is folding. So, you know, we had Red Bull Global Rallycross for a good chunk of the decade. They shut up shop. ARX, brought to you by IMG World Rallycross, they lasted 2 years. They are shutting up shop. Tanner Faust, obviously one of the most decorated rallycross drivers, you know, in American history, coming off this big championship, he's got to do something. He's got big backers, he's got a massive social following. It looks like him and Volkswagen are continuing to team up. He's going to be running a Volkswagen SUV in Baja next year. They debuted, I think it's at the Los Angeles International Automotive Show right now. It is a Volkswagen. It's got a drivetrain similar to his rallycross car, I believe. But he is going to be running that in Baja. It's a Reese Millen four-wheel drive chassis, similar to the buggy that Reese Millen is racing down there in Baja. It's called a Jackal, I guess Reese Millen calls that. But what it is basically is an uber lightweight four-wheel drive vehicle, like super, super lightweight. You know, and so power to weight is crazy. It's like a rally car. It doesn't quite have as much wheel travel as your traditional desert car, but that thing rails around corners. I think it'll be a great Baja car. So it sounds like Tanner Faust has everything lined up, the funding in place with Volkswagen to go and run that in Mexico next year. So that is some big news. I mean, a year in advance, you know, and give Tanner Faust a year to do development work and test this car and get it tuned and everything, man, that is absolutely huge. So really looking forward to seeing what comes out of Tanner Faust and that program. I think that's some big news. But I guess the bigger news is ARX shutting up, right? With America's Rallycross shutting down, now the United States, you know, they don't have a Rallycross presence heading into next year. And I think that's a scary thing. You've got a lot of teams, obviously, you know, Tanner Faust, he'll be all right. Andretti Autosport and Volkswagen program sounds like it's formally shutting down. But you got Subaru. They just built this brand new facility up in Vermont. Massive shop. I mean, this is NASCAR IndyCar quality garage. I mean, not garage. I mean, but race facility, right? Massive facility up there in Vermont for their program. And, you know, and now all of a sudden they've just got Stage Rally. I don't see that happening, right? You've got Steve Arpin, who runs a couple of cars. He's got an amazing facility there in Charlotte. I've been there quite a few times. You know, him and Loewenbro, they've got that program going on. So, you know, I did reach out to Travis Pastrana, sent him a text. Obviously, Nitro Circus, you know, they Nitro World Games has been having Rallycross the past couple of years. So I text Pastrana, said, hey, buddy, what's the word? And, you know, I know that long-term Pastrana wanted to have a multiple Rallycross events tied in with Nitro World Games, right? But I think they were still a couple of years out. So it sounds like right now, and I, you know, it was very vague because I really don't think they knew what this was, one, this was happening, and two, where it was going. But it sounds like Nitro Circus, Nitro World Games, they are going to try their best to possibly do a multi-event series next year. I mean, I think wishful thinking would be maybe three events. I don't see it being much more than that to do them proper. Obviously, we'll have the Nitro World Games like it has been the past couple of years. But, you know, they've got a couple of years. You know, they've got some other venues I know they've been looking at confidentially. So I think, you know, maybe they will step in and do something, you know, to help save the sport and these teams. I don't know what kind of presence we'll have, what kind of media package. You know, it's really, really late in the game to be going after, you know, financial investors and things like that, and media packages this close to next year. That being said, you got money, you know, they'll find TV time for you. But I think it's an interesting position to be in for rallycross, and you know, thinking about everybody involved. I know we did a feature on the website, kind of the history of rallycross in the United States. Chris Leone, who will be calling in with Power Rankings in the next segment. You know, he was he put that together. I think he's the right person to do it. He's you know, he's been, you know, with rallycross from the start, you know, and obviously with GRC folding up, he came to work for me. But it's got some crazy traffic on the website, so definitely want to jump over to downanddrewshow.com, check that out. But yeah, so ARX Rallycross folding up, it was a massive news, you know, over I guess over the past week, you know. I don't think a lot of people saw that coming. I know Lucas Oil, they've announced their 2020 calendar. Estero Beach off the calendar. They're adding back in Utah, going back to Wheatland. So you know, a very similar schedule to what we've seen in years past with the Lucas Oil Off-Road Racing Series. You know, that's going on. You know, another one, you know, big news coming out this past week, Jimmy Johnson announcing 2020 will be his last full-time season in NASCAR. You know, he's got 7 championships right now, obviously one of the most decorated drivers of all time. And I always say, you know, Jimmy could have 9 at this point. He had 2 second place finishes in the championship before he ever took his first one. So, Jimmy, you know, obviously, you know, he's nowhere near Richard Petty type wins, but one of the most accomplished NASCAR drivers of all time, one of the most decorated drivers, you know, obviously a Hall of Famer. Sounds like 2020 will be his swan song, but he said full time. So I could definitely see Jimmy Johnson doing some appearances, maybe, you know, 8 to 10 races a year. I don't know. You've even got a guy like Dale Earnhardt Jr., right, in Xfinity. What's he do? A couple of races a year in Xfinity just because he wants to? I can see Jimmy doing something like that, you know. Probably races that he enjoys doing, though. But I think everybody in the off-road community has been salivating over this because, you know, Jimmy Johnson got his, you know, he got his start in off-road, right? And, you know, he's originally from California, and I think everybody in off-road wonders, you know, is Jimmy going to come back? Is he gonna do some off-road racing now? You know, I obviously, you know, around the throwbacks there at Darlington, he brought back the Chevy Thunder paint scheme. He actually took his original truck and redid it. You know, obviously Nora would be an easy one, but competitively racing in trophy truck again, I don't know. You know, short course, you know, is there a possibility, or is Jimmy just going to go and have some fun? You know, maybe he does that. You know, you don't know, but would be great to have him back behind the wheel of an off-road truck. Obviously, he's never lost the itch for it, but you got to give him a lot of credit. You know, came from the off-road ranks, looked at NASCAR. That's where he wanted to be. He completely dedicated himself to it and to that journey, and you know, it worked out. Obviously, he's you know, one of the greatest of all time. I mean, you talk NASCAR drivers, you talk Richard Petty, you talk Dale Earnhardt Sr., Jeff Gordon, Jimmy Johnson. There's a short list of about 5-6 drivers who you call them the all-time greats. You know, and Jimmy Johnson definitely is on that list, hands down. So you know, what's he going to do after 2020? I think that's the big question mark. You know, obviously his brothers Jarrett and Jesse have both been active in off-road racing you know, up until recently. Jarrett kind of did the refurbish or renovation on that truck of Jimmy's. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, you know, what is in store for Jimmy Johnson in the future. So, I don't know, big news coming out of motorsports. I mean, obviously, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago. Roger Penske buying IndyCar and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway and IndyCar Productions. Like, who does that? Yeah, I'm just going to go and buy the Indy 500 and IndyCar, right? You know, rumor is that, you know, he's been eyeing some Formula One teams also. Like, I heard a rumor that he might be interested in buying, like, what, the Mercedes Formula One team or something? Like, crazy stuff. You never know with Roger Penske, too, but lots of crazy rumors happening around motorsport. So we're going to take a short break. The next segment will be our regular Power Rankings with Chris Leone. Then we'll have Matt Martelli calling in to start off hour number 2. All that and more still to come on a crazy one here on this Friday on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host a Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
Do you race or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Switching gears now, it is time for Power Rankings, and Chris Leone, bringing him back to the show, obviously media director there at the Down and Dirty Radio Show. But Chris, I know I've been gone at SEMA and stuff like that. We're finally kind of getting back to the grind of things, back to Power Rankings, and there is no better week than to do Power Rankings when we wrap up NASCAR, we wrap up NHRA. Man, we've got a lot of stuff wrapping up, and I got to tell you, this is a massive week for Power Rankings.
Yes, sir, Jim, not to mention the fact that Formula One had its second to last round of the season in Brazil, and that was a wild one. So, we have more than enough options to choose from. Obviously, all three NASCAR series wrapping up their respective championships, all four NHRA classes, and none of those championship battles were settled at all going into that final race, and all of them were settled completely differently. So very interesting weekend for sure.
Yeah, exactly. I think with me, the hardest thing I had to do with Power Rankings this week, and in particular, NASCAR was a little bit easier, but in particular NHRA, is we crowned not only champions, but we also had race winners. And being that this is a 7-week window, there, at least on my list, I had a hard time because I'm like, oh man, there's some guys and ladies that did a phenomenal effort in 2019 and maybe took home a championship, but they're not on my rankings because maybe their 7-day window wasn't exactly that good.
Yeah, and that was precisely the same thing that I struggled with, Jim. I mean, obviously NASCAR makes it a little easier in those championship races where out of the four drivers who are still eligible, whoever finishes on top out of all of them ends up being the champion. But yeah, unlike last year where NHRA made it pretty easy, none of the champions ended up winning the race at Pomona. So obviously, you know, what do you do with that? That becomes quite the conundrum for us as we're trying to do power rankings.
Yeah, well, and I'm really kind of interested to see how these power rankings go. So we don't know if we're doing one or two segments yet. We'll just get into things. But Chris, let's kick off this big week. And I got so many people on my honorable mention list. I don't even know if we got time to talk honorable mentions, but maybe we'll get to it at the end of the segment if we got enough time. But starting out, who did you have at number five this week?
Well, Jim, number five, I am going straight to Pomona for the NHRA finale. I'm going Gianna Salinas. You know, sometimes it is better to be lucky than good, but in the end, it doesn't matter if you got lucky one round. It doesn't matter if you got lucky four rounds. What matters is that you get your vehicle off the starting line and you get it down the drag strip 1,000 feet faster than the person in the other lane. Gianna did that all four rounds in Pro Stock Motorcycle. She ended up, certainly getting lucky and getting the benefit of the doubt a couple of times where other riders had issues. And obviously that was a heartbreaker for Jerry Savoie, who could have stolen the championship from Andrew Hines had he just been able to get the bike off the line. But, the Salinas family, Mike Salinas obviously is a top fuel race winner and was, you know, very strong for a lot of this season. So it's cool to see all of the father-daughter pairings in the NHRA, just, you know, people taking victories and championships. And, I mean, we think of the Forces, obviously. We think of John and, you know, his daughters. But Mike and Gianna Salinas, you know, the next in line in those father-daughter combos. And, her taking that first Pro Stock Motorcycle victory of her career to end the season, she made it as my number five.
You know, and talking about number fives, we are on the same page so far because I had Gianna Salinas there at number five on my list. And, you know, like you said, you know, it's small family operation. You know, they found some success. You know, she didn't even qualify for the countdown this year. But to come away with that maiden victory, and like you said, at the end of the day, nobody knows how you got there. They just know that you got there. And 2-3 years from now, when we look back at the record books, nobody's going to care how Gianna Salinas won. We're just going to know that she won and she's got an NHRA victory. You know, and so to me, I don't know. I had to have her on the list, and there's some heavy hitters, you know. And one thing I do love about Pro Stock is they have opened their arms to female competitors. And we've got some of the best talent in the NHRA in that motorcycle division. But, and it's just funny because you go from last week on the show, we had Angel Sampe on, you know, talking about her amazing career that she's had, you know what I mean? And she's done it all on a bike, you know, and how she's kind of closing it out. And obviously she got re-signed for another year. We're going to see her back in 2020, thankfully, with Harley. But then you've got somebody like Gianna Salinas, who now just etched her very first ever victory. And I don't know, just a very cool story coming out of the Pro Stock Motorcycle division. I know they don't race as often and as frequently as some of the other divisions, but it's one of my favorite in NHRA. And you and I both on the same page with Gianna Salinas there at number five, Chris.
For sure, Jim. And, just moving right along, number four, I am honestly, a lot of my list is going to stay in Pomona. It was just such a great event, you know, such a dramatic event to cap off the NHRA season. And number four, you know, is a good friend of both of ours now. Steve Torrence is number four on my list because obviously he didn't actually take home the victory in the event. And I know there was a little bit of drama after the first round, but, you know, let's be real. He still had to go out and make it far enough in the event. I know he lost in the semifinals, but biggest challenger was Brittany Force. They match up in the second round. Steve-O takes Brittany Force down. And that has kind of been the rivalry in Top Fuel over the past few years. Brittany snuck in and stole the 2017 title away from Steve. Obviously, that was a huge motivating factor for him last year when he had that perfect countdown. And that was kind of a rubber match, wasn't it? You know, where if Steve-O had gone down and Brittany Force made it one round further, you know, she could just as easily have had her second Top Fuel title in 3 years. So even though Steve-O doesn't end up taking the event victory, that goes to Doug Kalita. You know, I've got to have Steve Torrence on my list for doing what he needed to when he needed to do it to be able to secure back-to-back Top Fuel titles.
Yeah, you know, Steve-O, I got to tell you, he's my boy. Got to hang out with him at SEMA a little bit here a couple of weeks ago, but he did not crack my list this week. And but I will say that the defining moment was him, you know, taking that victory over Brittany Force, which basically, I don't want to say handed him the title, because, but, you know, it definitely put him in the catbird seat for it. But I'm going to move to Formula One world down there in Brazil, because Max Verstappen taking the victory there with a great effort for Red Bull. And he also qualified on the pole. So kind of making it the perfect weekend, qualifies on the pole, takes the victory. I got to be honest with you, Chris, I did not watch the Formula One race. Too much other stuff going on. Kind of caught some of the highlights, but I thought Max Verstappen, and anytime you can, honestly, Lewis Hamilton has been just, he's been so good this year. Anytime you can knock him off, and you know, Red Bull, you know, they've had, you know, it's been them and Mercedes and Ferrari all year long, but I feel like Red Bull sometimes has been, you know, they've been kind of the third one out at times. And I don't know, it's I just felt like Max Verstappen had to have him on my list there at number four.
For sure, Jim, and I will get to Max Verstappen on my list a little bit later, but you know, for my number three, again, I know I've kind of been thumping NHRA so far, but this is actually my last NHRA racer on my list, and then we'll start moving, you know, I'll move my two other names onto other series, but NHRA, I've got to give number three to Robert Hight for, you know, locking up his third funny car title. I mean, again, like we talked about, so many worthy people, you know, particularly at that event. We could have easily just done an NHRA power rankings this week and really had that be that. But Robert Hight, you know, scoring his second title in 3 years, third overall, makes it to the final round. You know, basically he just needed to stay in his lane in that final round to be able to win the championship over Jack Beckman, who actually, you know, he met in the final round, and you know, he did his burnout and the engine died, but it didn't matter. You know, Jack Beckman making it down the line, still a handful of points. I think it was 8 points short of the championship. So, you know, Robert Hight did everything he needed to do this season. Early on, he was the dominant driver. You know, even as a couple of other guys, particularly Beckman and Matt Hagen over at Don Schumacher Racing, began to challenge him. I mean, Hight and that John Force Racing team, I mean, they were strong all season. Robert just kept knocking off the wins. Obviously, John Force knocked off a couple of big wins during the year, scored 150, you know, but Robert Hight was the class of the field this year and a very worthy champion. And, you know, certainly as the driver who made it the furthest of all four of this year's NHRA champions, you know, at Pomona, he is my number three.
And moving on to my number three, and Robert Hight, I got to tell you, he didn't make my list either, but he was very, very close, and I had to bump him, and he got bumped in favor of this one, and I would be, I'd actually be amazed if this was on your list, Chris. I'm pulling one, actually, it's been talked about on our Facebook group quite a bit, but I'm going to go with Team USA, and Team USA competed in Portugal at the International 6-Day Enduro. This is the most grueling motorcycle enduro race on the planet. I mean, I would say the only thing tougher might be Dakar, but it's a little bit different format, but the International 6-Day Enduro, and I'm going with Team USA because Team USA won three times. Not only did the men win, led by Taylor Robert, former guest here on the show, the women won, led by Tara Geiger, and also they have an amateur race called the Club Race, and the USA won the Club Race. So USA 3-for-3 in the International 6-Day Enduro, and this is a 6-day-long enduro motorcycle race, one of the most just brutal ones on the planet. So for Team USA, taking the three-peat at the International 6-Day, I am, you know, they got to be on my list at number three.
No doubt, Jim. I mean, anytime that you can represent your country and go somewhere else and, you know, just kick butt like that. I mean, that is an absolutely dominant performance. So congratulations to Team USA. They're certainly well-deserved accolades and, you know, certainly well-deserved on your list. You are right. I don't have that on my list because I think I think the final two drivers that I've got on my list are probably a little bit of a layup in both cases. Number two, Formula One, Max Verstappen. You've already talked about just what kind of race he had. And, you know, let's not forget the circumstances of that race. Everything was just so crazy.
Yeah.
The two Ferraris ran into each other. I mean, you know, he was able to get by Lewis Hamilton twice, which is not an easy task by, you know, by any stretch of the imagination with how dominant they have been recently. I mean, what was kind of cool is they basically had a NASCAR-style green-white checkered. You know, they only had a couple laps to go. And, you know, it's got to be a huge confidence boost for Red Bull to see the fact that they almost locked out the podium between their two teams, you know, and if not for Hamilton and contact with Alex Albon, they very well may have done it. Pierre Gasly, you know, proved that he belonged because there had been questions about him for quite a while, but, you know, Verstappen dominating, you know, that late stage of the race and taking home his third win of the season and sort of entrenching himself at third in points, you know, for me, number two, and I think a well-deserved place on both of our lists.
Yep, and for number two, I am going to move back to NHRA. I'm going to go with Doug Kalita, who finished second in the championship by just a few points atop Fuel to Steve Torrence. He was right in the neck of the heat of things all year long in the countdown. Took the victory, did what he had to do, and literally just missed out on the championship by a few points. And Doug Kalita, banner year for him, finishing second to Steve Torrence just by the narrowest of margins. But he did everything he had to do, and, you know, based on his – 1 week performance, I got to have Doug Kalita at number two on my list. Which, Chris, we're running short on time. We got about a minute and a half left, but I believe both of us have Kyle Busch at number one. Chris, give us a breakdown on Kyle Busch's weekend.
You are certainly correct, Jim. And Kyle Busch, second championship, and certainly a bit of vindication for him because the first one that he won at the Cup Series level was the year where he missed the first 11 races due to injury. And you'll always have people who hate the current NASCAR playoff format that say, you know, oh, you need to do it over all 36 races. You know, that really shouldn't have counted. It's, you know, it's garbage, whatever. You know, well, now you've got a Kyle Busch championship where he did run every race. And frankly, they made the smallest amount of mistakes. They had the best race. You know, they didn't, who I really feel bad for is Martin Truex Jr. because he was just super dominant. But, you know, they put the tires on the wrong side of the car, unfortunately, at one point, and that caught him out. Denny Hamlin had overheating issues. You know, Kevin Harvick didn't have a perfect race either. You know, Kyle Busch and that Joe Gibbs Racing team, they did everything that they needed to do. They are champions yet again. And, you know, for Kyle Busch, that has certainly got to be a nice little slice of vindication. You know, two championships is always better than one.
Absolutely, Chris. And with that, we got to take a short commercial break. We'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Anywhere is possible. It's more than just a slogan. Anywhere is possible with General Tire's wide variety of tires for whatever it is that you drive. Whether you're looking for off-road capability balanced with impressive on-road performance or ultra-high performance offering all-season traction designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has what you need to get where you're going. General Tire, providing Anywhere is Possible with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
4WP is more than a store. We're truck and Jeep experts and have been for over 50 years. From wheel and tire upgrades to full custom builds, 4WP has you covered. Whether you want to order the best parts online or shop in store, do the work yourself, or get it done by a pro, all roads lead to 4WP. Do your rig right. Shop online or find your store at 4WP.com.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And yeah, just getting done with power rankings with Chris Leone. We're going to go back to Baja on hour number two. Also got Tiffany Stone calling in, but we're going to have Matt Martelli on hour number two talking Baja. He's calling in from the Baja 1000. We're under a 24-hour delay down there in Baja. So yeah, we're going to get things started 24 hours later than we thought. We're trying to bring you the best real-time live coverage that we can. Thanks to everybody tuning in on AFN, our our affiliates with Sports Byline USA, everybody online. Make sure and check us out on iTunes. You know, it's been a crazy one. Thanks for bearing with us through all this. I know we threw the format today all up in the air because of the situation down there in Baja. And, you know, obviously I've been getting some good feedback on it. So thanks to all of you guys who are supporting the show. But yeah, Matt Martelli is calling in. We got him for 20 to 30 minutes from Baja. He's going to give us the latest on this crazy rainstorm. You know, I guess I don't know. You don't want to call it a natural disaster, but it's just, man, there's a lot of chaos happening there in Ensenada and everywhere in the Baja Peninsula. And it's delayed, you know, one of the biggest off-road races on the planet for 24 hours. That is saying something, because that is not something that SCORE would take lightly, and it's definitely costing everybody a lot of money. So we're going to dive more into that situation in hour number two. If you haven't already, please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the show. Even if you're listening nationally, helps us out. Please leave a rating or review. Let us know what you think of the show. Love guest suggestions and all that good stuff, man. It helps keep us cranking here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show. But we're going to take a short commercial break, and when we return, it's going to be hour two right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com, or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. This would be hour number two for those of you just joining us. You missed hour number one. We've kind of been diving into everything that's happening down in Baja with the Baja 1000 and this 24-hour rain delay. If you are tuning in online, obviously you've already heard hour number two, but thanks to all of our listeners tuning in on networks across the country, as well as our friends in the military on the AFN. Thank you guys for everything that you do for our country. And, you know, it's much respect, and thank you guys for tuning in on AFN and listening to the show. But, yeah, we are talking Baja. We dove into a little bit of NASCAR and NHRA talk. But, man, we are switching gears here. Hour number two, it's all about off-road. We got Tiffany Stone to close out the show. We'll probably talk a little bit about SEMA and some of the stuff we saw and experienced there at SEMA. But right now it is all about what is happening in Baja. We've got Matt Martelli calling in about 5 minutes. He is going to give us the latest from the ground floor at Ensenada. What's going on with the track? What's going on with the drivers? What's going on with SCORE? Course changes? Anything he knows, we are going to get wind of it. he's got a massive crew, I think, of like seven different video crews out spread out across the peninsula. He's getting updates from all over the place. What I understand, Tavo Vidosol is actually flying around the peninsula in a helicopter right now, scouting new lines for this off-road race, because all the course notes, all the pre-running, it is out the window. And I got to tell you, tomorrow is going to be a wild one in Baja. So I know Matt Martelli, if anybody's got the latest, he's got the details, he's got the scoop, it's going to be our boy Matt. He and I actually did on the Off-Road Edition a preview of the Baja 1000 earlier this week. Go and check that out on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast, Google Podcasts, I think CastBox, Spreaker, the whole works. But, you know, website downanddirtyshow.com. But, you know, we did this whole preview, and which is funny because we, you know, as of a week ago, it was 100% relevant. Now, I don't know how relevant our preview is, because this race has changed. It would be like taking the Indy 500 and then delaying it by 24 hours and then telling everybody, oh, we're going to run the race in reverse. Yeah, that's the equivalent of what's happening in the Baja Peninsula, to put it into perspective for a lot of you fans. So I'm an off-road guy. We're going to continue to talk about this. I'm really excited about this race and what's going to happen, because I think we're going to see some stuff that we have never seen. And for off-road to see something we've never seen before, man, that is tough to do. But I think we're going to see it this weekend at the Baja 1000. So, yeah, we're going to take a short commercial break. And I know Matt Martelli, he's going to be calling in and here in just a few minutes, less than five, right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert, dunes, or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high-performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Do you race, or are you a weekend warrior? Have you checked on the date on your helmet recently? Don't get caught off guard by using an outdated helmet. Impact Racing, the leader in motorsport safety, has new SA 2015 helmets to fit your budget. Whether you're looking for a helmet with a full carbon fiber shell to take you to victory at the Indy 500, or just looking for some helmets for a weekend at Glamis, Impact Racing has a helmet for you. Find out more information at ImpactRaceProducts.com or on Facebook at Impact Safety.
Super ATV is the industry leader in aftermarket UTV and ATV parts and accessories. Super ATV products are designed, engineered, tested, and manufactured right here by Super ATV. Whether you're looking to upgrade your suspension, get stronger axles, or you're looking for a new winch to get you out of a tough spot, Super ATV has what you're looking for. And since we know you're in a hurry, we offer fast, free shipping to the lower 48 states on all orders. Visit superatv.com now and get your UTV or ATV dialed in.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All right, we are talking Baja 1000 and everything happening south of the border. I told you guys we're going to deliver on somebody calling in from down there to find out what the hell is going on. Matt Martelli, I know you and I did a preview show earlier this week on everything to expect out of Baja, and I feel like we just need to throw it out the window at this point, buddy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but this is what's great about racing in Baja. The one thing that you can always count on is there's going to be drama. And we have, like, the next level of drama going on right now. It is just completely bonkers here. You know, drivers don't know exactly what's going to happen. The score hasn't really announced what, if any, of the course changes will be there. I know they've had crews out in multiple areas all night, you know, in tractors and heavy equipment trying to make certain sections of the course passable. But I know for a fact that there's two areas that, you know, are completely impassable. One of them is up on the way up to Rancho El Coyote, and there's a narrow canyon, and now it's too narrow to fit a vehicle through it because all the dirt has been washed out, and you just have like a 6 foot wide rock canyon. So pretty crazy, but you know, it's going to make for some great racing. I mean, off-roading doesn't cancel, so I'm sure Score will get it sorted out, and we'll have a race here tomorrow. It's beautiful here today, so the rain stopped, the sun's come out. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But, man, talk about drama. It's completely bonkers here right now.
Well, you know, and I talked about this in the opening segment. I said, you know, for Score, I think they said this is only the third time in history they've ever actually paused the start of the Baja 1000. But like you said, like, dude, I've raced myself in snow. I've raced in sleet, storms, wind, lightning. Like, off-road doesn't stop. I mean, the only, you know, obviously putting a pause on the Baja 1000, I mean, you know, dude, I mean, this is costing hundreds of thousands of dollars. We've got people here globally flying in. Like, Score doesn't take that decision lightly, which to me says, you know, this isn't like a NASCAR race where you wave the yellow flag, go, oh, we're going to wait for rain to stop, you know, in 20 minutes. Like, no, like, for them to pause the Baja 1000, dude, that just ought to put it into perspective what's actually happening on the peninsula right now, because that is not an easy decision to make.
Yeah, I mean, I've been down here in storms, and I can tell you over the last 2 days, it has rained like it's the end of the world. And there's snow in the mountains, just like you said. In fact, I saw a photo this morning of the weatherman, Scott Steinberger. You know, he's up on Diablo right there, and he's in a foot of snow. So, yeah, that's, you know, I'm sure, you know, Score is doing everything in their power to make this happen, and I'm confident that they will. You know, and I think it's a good call on their part, because some of the problem areas would have caused them to cut down the mileage at least 200 miles, which I know that they don't want to do. But, you know, we raced through some pretty wild terrain down here. And one of those, you know, big chunks that we raced on is a dry lake bed, which is no longer dry anymore. It's a lake. So, you know, it's gonna be interesting. And, you know, we were talking about it last night about the advantage now going to the four-wheel drive vehicles. However, you know, one of the transmission builders that I spoke to yesterday voiced their concern of, like, now in areas where, you know, it used to be slippy and slidey because of the silt and the sand, it's really tacky. And so that's going to put a lot of strain on the transmission. So, you know, four-wheel drive could actually end up being a disadvantage, you know, as far as damaging the car. The other thing that could happen here is we could see a top 10 from UTV. You know, it really gives it an advantage. How muddy it is gives an advantage to the UTVs. They're light and nimble. They can take creative lines that trucks and big class 1 cars can't. So I think we're going to see some wild stuff at this race.
Well, and I think that's the big story there, you know, and I really didn't even think about the drive train, but yeah, like you said, UTVs, you know, with as nimble as they are, they can take stuff that car and trucks just physically can't. But, man, we got to talk about the dirt bikes though, man. I mean, they're going to go off first, Matt. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't want to be on two wheels, you know, especially one of the first guys on road. Like, I mean, you want to talk about into the unknown and into some just chaos, dude. Those guys got to be a little worried right now.
Oh, God. Those guys, first off, they don't get enough credit. And they're just absolute savages to begin with. And now, you know, with all the rain and the mud and just everything, it's going to be a gnarly feat just to finish this race on a bike, let alone win it. So, yeah, it's just really the rain. And, you know, we said it earlier, like, you know, you got to beat your competitors. You got to beat your equipment. You got to beat the terrain. And the weather is always a factor, which just became a big factor in this race. So, yeah, it's cool. I mean, for me, it's like, you know, being a kid in a candy shop, it's super exciting because nobody really knows what's going to happen yet, how it's going to go down, who really has the advantage now. Track position is going to be less critical now because, you know, you don't have the dust factor. And, you know, I think that those guys who are in that more mid-pack around, you know, about 15, 20 vehicles back have an advantage because they're going to see, you know, what the leaders go through and get stuck in. So they're going to know, like, hey, look, that guy's stuck over there. We're going to go to the left. So, you know, silt beds are now mud pits. Like, it's crazy down here.
Well, and here's something I was thinking about. And, you know, we know they're really quick in the desert, but I got to think, you know, I know Score calls it the hammer truck class, but, you know, the KOH, the Ultra Fours, dude, I got to think they got a real advantage down there with the way the weather conditions have changed the track.
Absolutely. It's funny you mention that because I spoke to Casey Curry yesterday and he was glowing. He was excited. He was looking at me saying, I'm going for it. You know, I think I have a big advantage here. And those areas where, you know, we're going to be some big high-speed areas now, I don't know how fast those areas are going to be. You know, there's a lot of standing water, and it's really, you know, going to depend on how much it dries out today.
Yeah. So all that being said, I know, you know, before we jumped on, you'd said, you know, Tavo, he's actually, you know, scouting via helicopter. But all these drivers now, dude, we're supposed to be racing right now. And they're in this layover, this like they've got 24 hours, you know, and idle hands and race car drivers don't normally, they don't go together real well. I mean, what's the vibe there around Ensenada? What are the drivers doing? I mean, you know, you got to think they're trying to do their homework the best they can.
Well, I think everybody's anxious and everybody's on edge. And, yeah, we'll see. I mean, you know, people keep calling me and asking questions. What do I think about this? What do I think about this? And, yeah, like you mentioned, Tavo is over, you know, flying over right now in the helicopter with his co-pilot, Hagi, and then they're looking at everything because they want to assess, you know, what's going on.
Yeah. Well, you know, all that being said, too, we got to talk about the start because I know you texted me a picture last night. And, you know, the big thing is I'm assuming at this point the start, they're not going to run down the wash, right? They're probably just going to transit out of Ensenada down through the streets, right? I mean, and I saw a picture of Nasser and Toby Price. I mean, right off the start, I think, you know, between Ensenada and Ojos, there was a hill and, like, they were having problems with their two-wheel drive pre-runner. Like, you know, I got to wonder, the start's going to be kind of crazy just to get through the first 20, 30 miles.
Yeah, and Score has said nothing at this point. I mean, clearly we can't go down the wash unless we have a boat. So it's one of those things that, like, nobody knows yet exactly what's going on. But, yeah, I think my guess would be they would parade everybody out from the start to the Blue Gate by the Pepsi stand and start there. You know, the alternate is to take everybody all the way out to Ojos and start in there. But I think the Blue Gate is the Pepsi stand is the most logical option. It has enough room to put all the competitors, and that's where Record starts its races when they're racing down here. I've raced a few of those races and put a lot of fun in. And that way it only shaves a little bit off the front of the course, but it will have to be speed controlled coming in as well. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting. And, you know, again, it's like, what is this giving to track position? You know, now it's going to be about survival more than speed. And I would expect our average speeds to come down. So it's interesting. It's going to be wild. I'm excited. I really can't wait to see what happens. And, you know, I think that it really turns the race on its head and it gives advantage to guys who are experienced with mud, you know, and experienced with water crossing and experienced with that type of off-roading. And you know, it's going to be a hindrance on the guys who are used to, just nice warm desert racing.
And we'll be back with more with Matt Martelli after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest and hands-down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcasts and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Talking about the craziness happening in Baja right now with Matt Martelli. So, Matt, so do you think this year, I know they kind of reversed the direction of the 1,000. Do you think it's going to help or going to hurt that they're running the coastline first?
I actually think it's a good thing because the days in the mornings here are clear. In the morning, it's clear. And in the afternoon, the fog rolls in. So, we can avoid the fog. And, be kind of clean throughout the day. Plus, one of the things that people don't really consider is that you're only going to have about 4 hours light, at the start of the race, 4 to 6 hours, and the rest of it's in the dark. So our expectation was lead cars would be finished in about 2 or 3 in the morning. I think that's going to be later. I think we're looking at more of like a 5 o'clock in the morning finish. I think it's going to slow them down that much. I think the coast section being the first chunk, I think it's great. It's going to allow fans some great spectating. It's pretty fast section. There's a lot of running on and along the beach, but I can tell you where we're going to film. We're going to Quattro Casas to the silt bed. Because our scout photos that we got back yesterday is it's a mud pit, and they've got to figure out a way through there. It's going to be wild.
Well, I guess for a media guy, right, this is this makes it interesting because I think we're going to get some content and some coverage. I mean, this is a Baja. There's always – we've had washouts in the past, but it was like a big storm happens 2 to 3 weeks out, so they have a chance to go in and patch some of the roads, things like that. But even the mud holes are muddy, but there's lines around them. This is so fresh. Like – we haven't had a 1,000 like this, and like you said, there's unknowns. These guys have been down there for 3 weeks pre-running, and pretty much all their notes are out the window at this point, And like you said, the fast sections are now mud pits. Like, I don't know, Matt. This has got me really excited. I think it really, it blows it open where I think somebody that we're not expecting might actually, if they run clean and just, figure it out, they may have a real good shot at coming in and taking a victory.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think we're going to see some – I think we're going to see some change up. I mean, there's a lot of capable guys, but this race, I hate to use the word miserable, but it's going to be a tough race. You're going to be wet. You're going to be cold. It's going to be physically draining, and it's all about, trying to not get out of the vehicle or get the vehicle stuck because, that kills time. It kills equipment. It kills your co-driver. And you've got people that are splitting driving duties and other people that are trying to Ironman it. So strategy is going to be, a big factor in this. And like you said, they can pretty much throw out all their pre-run notes, because, the course has changed that much. I mean, just one section of the course that we looked up by the mountains in El Coyote the other day, it had rained so hard there that the normal fast sections of that had huge 3-foot rain ruts in it that you really have to take your time over because there's square edge, there's rocks embedded in them, and it's just nasty.
Well, you know, and I think that's one of the key points. I think that section of the course in particular, you know, where you cross back over, you know, you run down the coastline to start. And for those that don't know, then you cross over. And, I mean, it's a single lane. If somebody goes off, it can bottleneck an entire race up through Mike's, you know, and then back over to the other side, you know. And I think, you know, to Valley T area, and I think, Matt, I mean, I think that's going to be the key point of this whole race. There's about a 100-mile section there, you know, that cuts over. And I think that whole section there with the rain, everything else that's hit, I think that's going to be the key right there. That 100 miles is going to determine, you know, who pops out on the other side and has a real good shot at, you know, at running, you know, running the rest, I guess, the next 500 miles to victory.
Well, it's a very good point, because really, if you break this race down, there's multiple races. And it's not just about the entire race. It's about winning the race from the coast to the mountains, you know, getting over the mountains and then getting over to the San Felipe side. And then you basically, you know, at that point, you're mile 400 and something, and now you've got to run a San Felipe 250, right? And, you know, we're doing it in a little bit abnormal fashion through Metomi Wash, which, you know, you're talking about giant boulders now that have been moved in the way by rain.
Yeah.
And then you've got to run San Felipe all the way up into the bottom of Laguna Salada, which I know is a lake right now, and then come back up over the mountains to the pine forest and then back into town. So, yeah, it's crazy. Larry Ragland explained it to me one time, and the way he looked at races like this, he broke it down corner to corner. You know, and he would always say, Matt, it's about getting from one corner to the next corner the fastest. And, you know, that's really how you can look at this race now, is these sections and who's going to dominate in each section. But you're right. Whoever has track position going into the mountains is going to be, you know, in the pole, you know, in control of the race pace and everything. And, you know, Arciero's out front. He wants to win this race. I saw him yesterday. And, you know, he looked right at me and said, this is my race to lose. And I'm like, you got it, man. You know, as well as, you know, Andy's ready. You know, with Bryce driving, I mean, that's basically like the super team. And not just with their skill set, but with their assets. You know, between Scott McMillan and Steve Menzies, you got a lot right. of, you know, resources and a ton of knowledge. I mean, especially Scott. He spent a lot of time in this peninsula. And he's a wizard when it comes to the logistical side of it. So they'll have guys with wenches in places that nobody even thought about. The McMillans know racing.
Yeah, well, and for those of you tuning in at home, obviously, you know, this is kind of the national show, but what he's talking about, the McMillans and the Menzies, to put it into perspective, this would be like Roger Penske and Chip Ganassi teaming up for something. I mean, you know, that's what this whole Menzies and McMillan thing is to me. It's like you take two of the best, most, you know, accomplished guys the last 10 years, and it's like, all right, we're gonna combine efforts for this race. You know, like, it's crazy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And then right behind those guys, you have Tavo. And, you know, I've been down here pre-running with Tavo. You know, he's mentally prepared. They've got so many people on their team, too. We literally refer it to as the Red Army, because, you know, we show up and all of a sudden 200 guys in red shirts show up. And I'm like, are these guys with you? And Tavo's always like, of course they are. They have my shirt on. And so, you know, Tavo's got a lot of resources and a lot of knowledge. And, you know, I think one thing that's really cool about Tavo is his driver is kind of a little bit of an unknown in this level of desert racing. But Brandon Arthur is, you know, a short course champ, won a lot of desert races, you know, in different classes. And, you know, after spending a few days with him, the guy can drive, and yeah. He's a smart driver. So, you know, that's the team I've been spending the most time with. But, you know, the list goes on. The Herbst are here. You know, Robbie Jordan's here. Funny enough, he did not get the unicorn ready for this race, so he's in a Geyser prepped RPM truck, which I actually think that's good, because you know the equipment is good.
Well, and I laughed, too, because I said, you know, everybody, Robbie's been hyping up this unicorn thing, and no doubt it's going to be an amazing, you know, thing when we finally see it in action. But all of a sudden, everybody's like, oh, he showed up in a Geyser. And I'm like, well, what do you mean, oh, he showed up in a Geyser? I'm like, Robbie just became a threat to win this thing. Like, before, I think it was a ticking time bomb. I'm like, Robbie in a Geyser? No. Like, now he's actually in the conversation. And I love Robbie, but I think in the Vaden Voyage in that unicorn, it was a ticking time bomb. Now, yeah, he's in the conversation.
Sure. No, absolutely. I think that, know, I think he's always a guy who, if he has his head and his equipment together, he can win anything.
Yes.
You know, but he's got, I don't know how many UTVs down here racing that he's supporting. He's got a big team down here, so it'll be interesting, to see which Robbie shows up. You know, BJ's in the mix too. We'll see where he shows up, and as well as you just go down the list of the who too. And you've got some guys in Class One who, even though they're starting behind all the trucks, this is a time race, so there could potentially be a win from the back, and especially with this course, because like I said before, as these guys go through and figure out lines, you're going to see what worked and didn't work. So you won't have to stop and check lines. You won't have to get stuck. You'll see, okay, those guys got stuck to the left. We're going to stay to the right. There's lines going through there. Let's go. So potentially being in the back could be an advantage.
Yeah. Well, and I'm looking at guys, I think some, a team like in Class One, like the Wilsons, who have been around forever. They know Baja. They've won in Baja. I'm looking at a team like that going, they've got a real shot here to take an overall victory, And I think a lot of times, trophy trucks get, they get all the love, and we forget about some of these veteran teams who know Baja as well as the truck teams and have won a lot of races,
Well, yeah, also, let's point out the technology has changed. Both the Wilsons and Parkhouse are driving the new Genco Hammerheads, which it's basically a trophy truck. It's got a trophy truck front end on it. The only difference is it's plunged rear axle, so it's a little bit less travel. But in cases like this where you really want to focus on wheel placement and precision, they definitely have an advantage over the trucks, I feel. The trucks will be faster in the big whoops in San Felipe, but not hugely. It's not like it was before where they had no chance. Take a look at Genco's website and look at those vehicles. They're amazing vehicles, and they can definitely contend for the overall. And like I said, this is a time-based event. So even though the guy's leading and finishing first, that doesn't mean he won it.
Well, and here's one I want to throw out at you, Matt, that, he does some crazy builds, but I think this race may have just kind of played into his favor a little bit, but that's Reese Millen in his all-wheel drive vehicle. He's got that all-wheel drive buggy, and I think a lot of people, he takes kind of his rally background, applies it to off-road, kind of people have passed it off for a while, but I think this race, it plays right into Reese's hand, and, let's not even talk about his driving ability.
Yeah, I mean, so for people who don't, know what we're talking about, Reese Millen has built a hybrid car. Essentially, it's a UTV on steroids, right? So it's not, people keep referring to it as a Class 1. It's not a Class 1. It's a six-cylinder turboed engine. So it's light and it's nimble. And I think it only weighs like 3,500 pounds. So, and it's four-wheel drive. So yeah, he's going to have a huge advantage in that car in this type of terrain. It's a little bit narrower than the bigger vehicles, a little bit shorter. But it's definitely fast. It has top speeds well into the hundreds. So yeah, that would be wild if he not only pulled off a top 10 with that, but he could win it. Four wheel drive is definitely an advantage on this course, on this race.
Well, Matt, we are up against a time break, buddy. But I appreciate you calling in with the updates down from Ensenada, man. It's going to be a wild one tomorrow. I know I'll be tuned in online. It's like I said, I think it's anybody's game. I don't think really anybody has any idea how this thing's going to play out.
No, definitely not. I'm really excited. I can't wait till tomorrow. And me and my Mad Media crew, we've got six teams down filming, so we'll be chasing all the way through the night to the end of the race, so it's going to be fun. So stay tuned. You can guarantee there's going to be some wild stuff happening.
All right, and we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here with my partner in crime, Tiffany Stone. We're both, we've cured our SEMA hangovers, I think. You've already been knee-deep in other stuff since SEMA, but I know last week we kind of took a bit of a break because we had all that stuff we recorded out at SEMA, but I guess welcome back to the land of the living, T-Stone.
I wouldn't call it land of the living yet. I think I'm still working on a few brain cells left from SEMA and my trail to SEMA, so you might be a little bit better than I am, but it feels good to be back. But I'm leaving in a few days to head out to the Los Angeles Auto Show, so it's going to be a whirlwind for me.
Yeah, you I don't even know if you live in Detroit anymore. I think that's just the place where you have your mail sent, right?
That's pretty much what it is. I feel like I need to get a shop out west because I spend most of my time out west anyway. So it's like if anybody needs a shop or a shop partner, I have a really cute Jeep. I know how to make good smoothies and pour over coffee. So hit me up. Let me know.
Well, I've thought about building an all-new radio studio and shop/place to entertain people. So I don't know. Maybe there's something to that, T-Stone. I was actually going to put an apartment on the back of it, too. So maybe there's something to that if you don't mind Arizona.
No, I love Arizona. So maybe I'll be the tenant that's over there. Like I said, I make really good pour-overs. I can make some good Thai food while we're at it. So win-win.
You sold me right there. Thai food, huh? All right. Now we're talking.
Yes.
So, okay. All right. Now we got to talk. What's your go-to when you're making Thai food?
I really enjoy making this Thai soup. It's Tom Yum Gai. It's really cool. It's made with coconut milk. There's mushrooms, red peppers, some lemongrass in there, sriracha, chicken, and then, of course, coconut milk, like I said, with a little chicken broth. And then at the end, you put it all together, and you put green onion scallions on top with some cilantro. It's the bomb.
Holy crap. I am officially sold, I think. You know, one thing I got hooked on. This is something completely off topic. Well, not off topic, but Thai iced tea. I'd never had one until about 2 years ago. Swear to God, those things are amazing.
Well, it's made with coconut milk, so yeah. That's what's the creamy part of it. It's delicious.
Yeah, no, it's amazing. So, yeah, we could probably sit here and talk about Thai food for quite a while, but I guess we probably ought to move on. I know SEMA was a pretty fun one. I know you and I still got Baja 1000 coming up this weekend, but neither one of us are going to be down there. But I know, obviously, you got LA Auto Show looking at December. I know I got some snowbike qualifiers. I think we're both going to go out to PRI, though. In Indy. So I don't know. We got quite a bit coming up. I don't know. The weird thing about SEMA to me, Tiff, was like looking back, the only thing I remember seeing was two things, anything about a Bronco and this Toyota Supra. Other than that, it was like Supra Bronco, Supra Bronco. Like to me, that was the theme of the show. Those two cars.
Well, and you got to throw Gladiator in there too. So that's what I saw. It was like everything Gladiator. It part of almost looked like the Overland show, you know. It was just like, what can we do with these vehicles? But I completely agree with you. I don't know if there was a few that I even was like, oh my goodness. The nostalgic ones of the nostalgic Broncos, the Rod Hall ones, I thought those were pretty cool. Brad Lovell brought his out. But other than that, you were absolutely right. It was kind of after a while, it was like, all right, another Bronco, another Supra, another, you know, Gladiator. And the crazy thing is the Broncos that were out weren't necessarily even the production Broncos. So it was just really crazy to see that.
No, it was crazy. I've never seen the car of the show be something that hasn't even been released to the public and nobody knows what it's going to look like yet. Like, legitimately, like, everybody at Ford was wearing Bronco shirts. Like, it was Bronco crazy, and it was all, like, vintage Broncos. Like, there was literally, this new Bronco, it's been, like, a 10-year, I don't know, teaser. Like, it's crazy. I mean, I think things are going to hit a fever pitch when this thing actually gets released, the production version, where people can see it. But it's the craziest thing I've ever seen. And I got to ask you, as a Jeep girl, though, like, I don't know, you feeling a little heat now? Because the Bronco sounds like it's coming for the Jeeps.
The Bronco is coming for the Jeeps, but there's a reason why the Jeep has been, you know, one of the most award-winning SUVs ever of all time. Why the military still uses, not that the military wouldn't use a Bronco or any of those things, but what I'm looking forward to, and some people might have some backlash on it, is the diesel that's coming out in the Jeep. You know, there's always been the market of the diesel market, the Jeep market, the rock crawling overland, and it's going to be kind of cool to combine those two. And, you know, like, not that Jeeps are pretty light or anything, but it would be crazy if people started drag racing Jeeps and had, like, you know, a 10-second Jeep. And that would be pretty awesome just to think about in itself, because you can still take the top off, you know, fab a whole different type of roll cage on there, but it's still a diesel. And I don't know, I think that's kind of cool to me.
Yeah. I'm already thinking of, like, a SEMA. I wonder if anybody's ever done, like, something crazy. Like, actually, there was somebody a while back that did a drift Razor. They slammed a Razor all the way to the ground, put a handbrake in it, put, like, performance tires on it. It was a drift Razor. Wonder if anybody's ever done, and this is kind of like sacrilegious even talking about it, but like a drift Jeep or like a pro street Jeep or something like that. Like, literally take a Jeep and slam it to the ground. And like, I don't know, like, to me it would be, I don't know what you're left with, but it would be kind of something cool to see somebody do a build. I don't know that I would ever want to own it, because literally, like I said, it's sacrilegious. But wonder if anybody's ever actually done that.
No, and that would be so. See, my thing is, how cool would it be if you slammed a Jeep with airbags, though, made it a 10-second Jeep on the asphalt? Then, you know, when you go rock crawling, you can say you have a trailer and everything, switch those out, make the suspension a little bit different. Like, I know what I'm talking about is probably impossible, but it would be cool if you could have something that did both and was, like, with airbags and just different things and different lift. And I just think that'd be so cool if you could be able to street run one and then take it out and then run on the rocks. That would be awesome.
Yeah, well, I know, like, even Dodge has done stuff with, like, their Durango. They got their, the SRT Durango, that's like a 650-horsepower Durango. And, you know, it's an SUV, you know, and it hauls ass. But, you know, technically, you know, it's got that lower stance, but it's only because the wheels and tires. Like, technically, you could put, like, off-road wheels and tires on it, you know, and lift it a little bit. You'd still have this rocket ship of a Durango. Like, I love stuff like that where there's multiple uses, you know what I mean? Like, I really dig that, where you can almost morph cars.
No, same thing with me. But that's why the Jeep is so awesome to me to begin with, because living in Michigan right now in the winter, I have the perfect 4x4 vehicle, get through the snow, do all of those things, still go snow wheeling. And then in the summer, I can take the top and the doors off and just ride around, you know, like that, which is so crazy, because obviously once you take the top, you take the doors off. It's quite amazing how quick and how peppy, you know, a 3.6 with an 8-speed transmission really is. In something, when you take probably at least 1,000 pounds, maybe including all four doors and the top, don't quote me on that, but you know, you're making the Jeep 1,000 pounds lighter. And so just imagine if you took a stock Jeep, lowered it like we were talking about, built a new roll cage on there, fab some stuff up, and how quick it could actually be.
Yeah. So I did see, talking about Jeeps, just got an email literally right before we started to do this interview. KOH, it's open for entries now. And I was looking at the schedule. Talk about a crazy week. They've completely, like, flipped the whole week up on end. Like, literally, they've got, like, opening weekend and closing weekend, and opens with UTVs, closes with motorcycles. In between is, like, Ultra 4 racing and Everyman Challenge and, you know, the trophy truck race or the T1 race. Like, I don't know. The schedule's completely different. I'm digging the schedule, though, this year, Tiff. I don't know. Have you had a chance to see that Ultra 4 schedule for KOH week?
Not yet. I did see the notification on Instagram that 2020 registration was open. Had a chance to catch up with Dave Cole and Alan Johnson, who does a few things. Obviously, you know, everybody knows Dave Cole about what's going on. So I'm pretty excited for it. I always like how there's so many different things going on. It really seems that they've taken a lot of consideration into spectators, you know, opinions and different things, and really tried to make it a great spectator sport. You know, obviously when you're stuck in the rocks, you know, sledgehammer, jackhammer, different things while a race is going on, they still provide some amazing coverage and like different points throughout all of Hammertown for you to be able to watch these, just like the big jumbotron next to the fire pit and everything. I really like what they're doing, because when you're, you know, so engulfed in different forms of off-road and motorsports, sometimes the hardest thing is actually watching the race and being able to watch the whole race. And I think Hammer King Productions have just done a phenomenal job on that.
No, and you know, and that's one thing that you can say, and I don't think anybody will take anything away from KOH, but they've taken something that is so remote and it's so impossible to watch, spectate, whatever, and they've made it accessible. And I don't think they get enough credit for what they've done, because to be able to televise live to the internet that event or that entire week and the remoteness of it, and make it like a proper, like, it's just, it blows my mind what they've actually been able to accomplish with that production.
Exactly. And if anybody's ever been to King of the Hammers during that time, you try to put 50,000 people in one area. Obviously, everybody knows the cell phone bush. And I was actually fortunate enough to be out there with Power Stop Brakes Trail to SEMA just, you know, a few weeks ago when nobody was there. I had perfect service because I have Verizon, but like you were saying, there to be able to have such a remote type of event be broadcast live to your phone, your computer, your TV is amazing and a feat in itself. So I think that's awesome.
Yeah. So you're heading out to LA Auto Show. You're going to be over there over Thanksgiving. What's the plans in LA? You got anything fun planned, or are you just grinding it out?
Just grinding it out. I honestly haven't done the LA Auto Show in the last 5 years. The first time that I did the LA Auto Show actually was 10 years ago. So that should tell you how old I'm getting now, but it's really cool. What I love about the LA show is there's a lot of unique vehicles, you know, a lot of OEM vehicles that you get to see there. But what else is greater are the concept vehicles. A lot of companies like to come out with different concept vehicles, and working with Lexus this year is going to be a little bit different for me, because it you know, mixes luxury with the concept. And I just think it's really, really cool. You know, I can't tell you yet, but Lexus is coming out with some unique things and some great things that will be debuted at the LA Auto Show. So anybody out there, you're listening and you want to come visit at the LA Auto Show, I'll be in Lexus. You know where to find me.
Nice. Well, I may actually have to make a trip out there. So where is the LA Auto Show? Is it downtown LA? LA Convention Center. So when you work the show, Tiff, like for that amount of time, do you have to, what am I trying to say here? What's your schedule look like in the evenings? Do you have them off, or, are you pretty pinned?
Well, based on the team, you know, so I work on the Lexus team with everybody. We've already have all of our schedules out. There's three different shifts. We come in, we all work and kind of do that. I work every single day at the show. So it's something different. It's pretty cool to be able to go do that. Like I said, I haven't been back in 5 years, so looking forward to the West Coast again, sunshine, the beaches, but definitely not looking forward to the traffic out there. So
yeah,
it's okay.
I kind of dig it though, that they actually took the approach where it's like, no, we're going to do it Thanksgiving week, and they legit have it open during Thanksgiving Day. And I think that's kind of cool, just because, you know what I mean? I don't know. Most wouldn't go up against a major holiday like that. LA Auto Show's like, no, we're just going to go head to head with a holiday. Heck with it.
Yeah, no, actually many of them do it. Phoenix Auto Show's around the same time as well. And you would actually be surprised how many people come through, because everybody has the day off. So if you have younger children, you have people from in out of town, if there's nothing going on, you know, if you say you don't eat dinner till later, it actually gets busy. And there's some people who will celebrate it and then come after. I think the show closes at 4 p.m. that day to make it nice for everybody who is working to come out there. So a little advice for everybody coming to the show: if you're coming to the show, be kind to all the product specialists and the presenters there. You know, we all have to work too on Thanksgiving just so you guys can be able to come check out a show. And that's what I always try to say to, you know, the flight attendants and the pilots on Christmas. You know, they're working so you can be able to go see your family on the holidays as well. So just a little advice, be a little kind to the people that are working the show. You know, we have to be there and not with our families.
Yeah, completely agreed, Tiff. Well, I think we're up against a time break, but once again, always fun, T-Stone.
Always. Stay tuned, guys.
And we'll be back after this on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back here to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Time to wrap things up. And, man, it was definitely a wild show today. Big thanks to Matt Martelli for calling in while he's down there in Baja. Obviously, Chris Leone for helping Power Anks, and Tiffany Stone always calling in for her segment. Big thanks to Four Wheel Parts, who's also the title sponsor or the presenting sponsor of the Baja 1000 this year. Polaris Razor General Tire, reminding you where anywhere is possible. Vision Wheel, their big partner down there at the Baja 1000 as well. Dirtfish Rally School, use the coupon code DOWNDIRTYDF. That'll get you 15% off at Dirtfish Rally School. Gibson Performance Exhaust. Also, we've got our friends at Impact Race Products keeping us safe. Our good friends there at Super ATV. You need UTV parts? Boom. They got you dialed in. The best stuff in the business. So thanks to all of our partners. Couldn't do it without you guys. Thanks to all you listeners as well. And you listeners got a big favor to ask. Please go over to iTunes, hit the subscribe button to the show, and please leave a rating and a review or a review. But mainly just hit the subscribe button and leave a rating, 1 through 5 stars. It helps us out tremendously. And if you want to give me feedback on the show, it's at JimBeaver15 on social media. Love hearing from you on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. My favorite, I got to be probably Twitter, Instagram. But yeah, we're on them all. So make sure and hit us up. Check out all our content we will be posting throughout the Baja 1000 at downanddirtyshow.com. Lots of written content. And thanks to all of our troops tuning in on AFN, everybody nationally, everybody online. We couldn't do this show without you. You guys help keep us in business, and I appreciate it. To those of you in Baja listening in, be safe down there. It's going to be a crazy weekend. All of you at home, you be safe as well. We'll see you next time right here on the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.